Hey everyone, welcome back to A Life of KG. Today on the show, I have the gorgeous Demi and Rachel. They are business partners. They've opened up their salon together 2 years ago during the pandemic, and they have gone from strength to strength. We talk about tips and tricks for you guys to be able to build your clientele, how to gain new clients, price increases. We talk about a lot. So without further ado, here they are.
Hi, I'm Demi.
And I'm Rachel.
We are two friends who joined forces in 2020 to create Lash & Brow Lab, a specialist lash and brow salon in Battersea.
Lash & Brow Lab is the home of our combined 10 plus years of expertise, where our sole aim is to offer you bespoke top tier treatments that make you feel truly special.
Follow us on Instagram at Lash & Brow Lab Clapham.
Or check out our website, www.lashbrowlab.co.uk.
Demi and Rachel, welcome to The Life of KG. How are you both?
Good.
Yeah, we're good. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You are so welcome. So do you guys want to just introduce yourself and tell us a bit about what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Rachel. I am a brow technician. I trained in brows initially in 2016 with HD Brows, and then I branched into lamination in 2019. Before we opened the salon, I wasn't full-time, so I only went full-time with everything nearly 2 years ago now. I was just working in the evenings and on the weekends alongside a full-time job, so yeah, took the leap with Dem in 2021.
I love that. What about you, Demi?
So I've been doing lashes since 2018. I was qualified in classics, initially trained with Nuvo, and then since then I worked at my friend's salon, Dion. So I worked at her salon initially, like I was practicing and stuff, and then I started working there for about like 10-11 months, I think. Then I left there and thought, let me try from home working full time, because it was quite a commute, like Croydon is quite far from Battersea. Mm-hmm. So I literally started working from one day a week, building it up. And then it just very quickly got very busy, and I was working kind of like 6 days a week from home, which obviously was great, but it was getting to a point that I can't kind of run the business from home anymore. I also in between that did my level three to do my teaching qualification, so mm-hmm. I thought I can't really be teaching students from my house, you know what I mean, like I was doing it in my bedroom. So then basically got the keys to salon September 2020, after a lot of back and forth trying to sort that out. And then, yeah, that's kind of been it. So I've been working full time at the salon. I've also got two staff members now for lashes. I'm looking to employ my third. And I did my Botox and my lip filler course like January. So
yeah. Amazing. So you guys have had a busy couple of years.
It's been very for long.
So I'm going to go and talk more about the business in a little while. But let's go back before the business started. Tell me about your life, what it was like growing up, like what did you think you'd go into?
You want to go first?
Yes. So I went to school, did GCSEs, A-levels, and then had sort of the classic thing I think that everyone has when you're supposed to be going to uni and you don't have a clue what you want to do and it's all a bit confusing. But I'd always done art at school, so I decided to try a foundation year in graphic design at a uni in London. I had already been working, so I started working just in Topshop where I met Dem when I was 15. And then in the pub that we worked in together. So I'd had like a taste of like working life and earning money. And when I started the uni course, it just wasn't for me. Just didn't feel right. I didn't enjoy it. And actually I sort of was like, no, I just want to go and earn money full time. So I lasted about 4 months, if that, I can't quite remember. And I dropped out. And I started doing like full-time hours at the pub, and which, yeah, is, I mean, I can't believe that was a period of my life. Very odd. I became like assistant manager. It was all very strange. And then I wanted to get out of that. So I, was it before or after? I was actually an estate agent for a while. Really? Was that before? No, that was after. So I quit the pub. I was an estate agent for a while. That was about 9 months. And then I had enough of that. Didn't like it. Too cutthroat. So I started working as a teaching assistant in a primary school. That was meant to be like a 1 year thing so that I could put more hours into the brows and get that hopefully like more of a part-time thing. That didn't happen. I was a TA and a nanny for nearly 5 years, doing brows in the evenings and on the weekends. And I found a room to rent in a yoga studio in Tooting. And I started doing that on a Sunday. And that is how I sort of really built more of a clientele. Before I had like the odd few clients, I'd go to their house or they'd come to mine, but it wasn't really ever anything very consistent. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but because of that, I just didn't really know how to take it any further. The room on the Sunday was perfect. It worked out so well. But then again, I just, for me, the prospect of being full-time, it was sort of like a pipe dream. I didn't think, I knew it was possible because I'd seen other people do it, but I'm not very, I don't have the most, let's say, self-confidence, or didn't at that point, to think, do you know what, I can take this full-time. So I was just doing that for a while. And then it wasn't until Dem sort of said, why don't we look at doing something together, that it became more of a realistic prospect, I'd say.
You dipped your fingers in quite a few things then. Do you think that now you've got the salon, you're settled? Do you think this is what you see long term?
Oh my God, 100%. It's literally just brows now for me. And I quit my job in 2020 to pursue the salon thing. And then obviously the pandemic interfered with that. And yeah, from then it's just been brows, and I can't believe it, really. It still feels very surreal, even nearly 2 years on, to be doing brows full time. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
That's when you know you're in the right situation, isn't it? When everything's like, oh my God, is this actually my job? Is this my day to day?
The imposter syndrome is ridiculous. But yeah, it's I couldn't have wanted anything more, and it's exceeded my expectations in every way, really.
That's so good. So good. Yeah. Good for you. What about you, Demi?
I can't actually remember what you just asked.
Where did you
go? Oh, yeah. Because I was thinking, so to be honest with you, I don't think ever in a million years that I expect myself to be in the beauty industry. I was actually doing sociology at uni. In my third year, I basically quit. That was due to, I just wasn't in the best headspace at that time. Like, I liked my degree, and it was interesting and I learned a lot, but I had like really bad depression. I think my nan passed, and also just struggling with just, I guess, university in general. So I kind of quit and wasn't sure where I was going to go with this. And then I just basically, if I'm completely honest, initially I just saw that loads of girls on Instagram were doing lashes, and I thought, oh, I might as well give that a go. It looks so easy. So yeah, I basically, third year, like, I had only a few essays left and my dissertation, and I was just like, I just feel like this is not for me. I'm not, like, I can't mentally do this. So I quit. Then because obviously I've worked with Rachel from the pub and stuff, so there's no point in kind of going over that. But yeah, I then basically took a lash course, and yeah, I feel like the rest for me just kind of feels like history. Like, although I know I remember working in the pub and stuff like that, it feels like a million years ago, which actually, well, it kind of is, I guess, quite a long time. But yeah, I never expected myself to be in the beauty industry. And I definitely feel like, if I'm being completely honest, I remember when I was in college doing like my A-levels, And you know, when you'd have like BTEC courses and then you'd have like beauty and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like society definitely puts a kind of like stigma on, well, I don't know necessarily about now, but definitely when I was in college, there's a very big stigma on like people who did beauty, BTEC and stuff like that. You were deemed as like not very intelligent and stuff. And I think obviously growing up in a society that spreads that, I kind of feel like I probably felt that a little bit. So it was never even in my like eyesight to work in the beauty industry, let alone full time. And here we are now. It's like everyone, when I said I was going to do a lash course, was kind of like, okay, yeah, but what else are you going to do? And I was like, well, I'm just going to try and do lashes full time. They're like, yeah, but what else? And I was like, no, I'm just the lashes. That's it. Like, that's going to be my income. And I feel like everyone was very skeptical, including like family and friends. And then now here we are and everyone is kind of like, oh, shit. I'm like, yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it? Like, I actually remember being in college doing beauty as well. I dropped out of school and then went into college early. And beauty, again, back then was like, you go and do your beauty course because you can't do anything else. Yeah. Or I'm not sure what to do, so I'll just do a beauty course. Like, yeah. It did have that shadow about it. Mm-hmm. And I think even now, I'd say maybe the older generation or people that just don't know as much, but people think, oh, it's just nails, it's just lashes, it's just brows. Like you said, what else are you going to do? And no one really knows how incredible the industry actually is and what type of lifestyle that comes with that.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that I experienced the same. Like when I took my brow course, everyone was a bit like, oh, like, okay, that's nice, you know. I guess for me at the time as well, it was a thing where I'd seen lots of people doing HD brows and it wasn't just your basic brows, and I quite fancy like trying that. And seeing, I'd always watch makeup videos on YouTube. I was a bit like obsessed with things like that. My mum was like, oh, okay, you know, if that's what you want to spend your money on, you just go and do that. And then obviously did it a bit part-time here and there. And I just think, even now, people, like, not my family, obviously now my family sort of get it a bit more. I don't know if they get it entirely, but they're obviously super supportive of the salon and everything that we've done. But even now, like, people talk to people and they'll be like, oh, what do you do? And I do eyebrows. And they'll be like, how are you, like, functioning, you know? Like, how have you got clothes to wear?
They don't get it at all.
Eyebrows, like, you don't worry about it.
That's hilarious. When it comes to like family and stuff like that, have they been supportive of you guys opening the salon? Were any of them business men, women, entrepreneurs, or are you guys the first?
I feel like I would say my uncle is a bit like a businessman, although I don't feel like I was necessarily around him as much when I was younger to kind of have him as a role model. So yeah, for me, I would say like in my family, I'm the first of somebody that I guess is the person that I wish I had around me when I was a kid.
My dad was always self-employed. He had a plumbing and gas heating business. Like my whole life, but you know, and he worked literally to the bone. Like we were very lucky. We had like, well, I say lucky, but we were lucky because he worked hard. Also, my mum has always worked in school. She wasn't self-employed, but I think the fact that my dad was self-employed, I don't think it ever really was a thing where I was like, oh, I want to be self-employed like my dad, you know. It wasn't really, I didn't really ever look at it like that. Because as much as self-employment brings you like freedom and like decision-making and you're in charge, like my dad literally worked like 12, 13 hours a day. Some days we didn't see him. Like he worked hard. So I never sort of looked at my dad and thought, oh, I want that, you know? Yeah. But obviously, yeah, I think I'd say the same as you actually. Like I never really grew up thinking, yeah, I want to be my own boss. Like I want to, until realized that there was the potential for it to happen.
So you guys obviously have worked together in like the pub and different things like that. So you obviously have known each other for a long, long time. I think you said 15. Like that's a long time. It's a long time. What was it that for let's open a salon. I can do this. Like, let's work together. Because a lot of partnerships don't work because they clash. So how have you guys managed to get to work, and what made you come into business together in the first place?
So initially, I obviously, as I said, I was working from home and I was full time, and it was kind of getting to the point that it was busting out the doors. So I was basically like started looking for salons. Previously, me and Rachel, like years ago, where she'd done brows and maybe when I first started lashes, we was like, oh, imagine one day we could maybe work together. I feel like it was like a fairy tale, like, oh, imagine one day we could work together. But no one actually really thought probably would happen, or at least anytime soon in life. You know what I mean? So yeah, I started looking for salons because I got to the point I couldn't work from home and my mum was basically getting sick of it. And then yeah, kind of Rachel was like, would you still want to kind of do it together? And I was like, yeah, okay. So then yeah, that's kind of how we went about, I guess, like to say, deciding to get a salon together. I feel like we've managed to find a nice compromise with working together and still being like a separate. And I think that is why it does work. Not to say that there isn't complications and there hasn't been disagreements. I wouldn't say it's easy. Do you know what I mean? It's far from easy. You've got two different characters. We're very similar. We're both Libras as well, but we're also very different. So we do have to navigate, and it is hard, very hard at the beginning. I feel like it's got easier, but you know, but we're under the same salon, but we are still separate businesses. And I think for me, that was one of the main things that I wanted to make sure was a thing, so that there's always flexibility with still being in charge of your own situation at the same time, but we still work together as a salon, if that makes sense. It's probably a bit different dynamic to most people maybe in their salon setup, but I feel like it works for us
100%. And like to completely back everything Demi said, we have not, it hasn't been easy. Like, we definitely have like clashed and butt heads, and there's been very hard times, but I feel like it works well between us. Like, we're not, you know, we get on well, and we, as Demi said, we can separate the business from our friendship. Like, we still go for dinner and we went on holiday and do the things that we did before, but then there's just a different side to it, and that's fine. You know, it's one of the things that I think you accept when you do something like this. You go into business with a close friend, it's what happens, it's life. And like, you know, I'll be honest, I would have wanted to go into business with anyone else. Like, it works perfectly. And I know, like, it's not easy, but it works perfectly at the same time. I don't know if that sounds...
Yeah, but it's not easy, like, working with people. It's not easy having staff. Like, nothing's easy, right? If it was, we'd all be doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So does the salon work as in, like, basically the salon's both of yours, and it's basically like they split down the middle, so then Demi does half of it with whatever she wants to do in growth, and then Rachel does the other half of whatever you want to do with the growth?
Yeah, so we're still essentially two sole traders. So we decided when we got the salon that it would simply work best that way. We work under the same roof, we're associated with each other, which is what we want. We want people to associate us together. But I'm a sole trader and Demi's a sole trader. Everything to do with her staff, products, services that she offers, they're to do with her. And it's the same for me. But obviously everything to do with the salon, the bills, the rent, things that need doing, you know, equipment that we use, that is all split between us. And I think that works like perfectly. I think had we decided... It wouldn't have made sense because I don't do lashes. So why would I make money from Demi doing lashes? Demi
doesn't. It's a really good idea, isn't it? Yeah. Of doing it, because I guess it helps save, like, share the pressure as well. Share the bills, share the pressure. There's two of you that have gone in and done it, but also able to do your own things within there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think so. I think as well for me, I feel like initially I was very apprehensive, obviously, to go into business with somebody, especially because obviously where I was working full time for myself as a sole trader, I feel like I got to the point where I'm like, I understand that I don't work, I don't make an income. Obviously, it's like progressing now, but when I was in my bedroom. So for me, I was like, I just don't know if I collaborate with somebody to that extent, if I know that they can match how I am. And then obviously it's like a financial crisis. And I feel like, you know, I feel like I've seen that dynamic in relationships. Mm-hmm. If, like, I've seen that, I guess, as a child. So for me, I was like, oh, that is quite a thing for me. So I think this dynamic works perfectly because we still work with each other and help each other, and we bounce marketing ideas and business, etc. And we have a shared salon page. But, I mean, obviously all the responsibility is shared, but we still earn our money. So we don't ever feel like, oh, you're not working hard enough, but I'm paying half of the bills or whatever. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which then makes sense, because I guess, I mean, I've had partnerships and stuff in the past as well. And I'm still in some partnerships with some people which work perfectly. But when they don't work, it seems to always come down to the finances, because there is a thing where I'm doing this, this and this, and actually you've only done this month, so why are you getting half of that money?
Exactly.
That is always the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously now we both want each other to win, like, completely, and we're in it for each other. But we know that the money we've earned is reflective of what we've done. Yeah.
That's really interesting. So,
hi everyone, I'm Savvy, and I can show you how to increase your revenue stream in just 3 simple steps. If you've got an existing client base or you're looking to build one, why not take a look at the show notes to find out more, and let's get talking.
So regarding the salon then, what's your setup with, like, I know, Demi, you've got a staff member or two. Oh, you said you're going to be getting your third one, right?
Yeah, so I've got 2 lash technicians. One is, like, works 2 days a week, and then I've got another one who's an apprentice, and so she works 3 days a week for me. And then, yeah, I'm, fingers crossed, I think I'm finalising for my third person. So yeah, that's kind of like my setup, but I do just want to keep growing. Like, for me, you know, as I'm going to mention her because she's my favorite person ever, Dion, I think she's incredible. I know she works with you with business mentoring and staff as well. And yeah, she's got like 7 staff members now, and I just think that's incredible. So yeah, I just want to kind of work towards growing my business, growing my team, because I'd really love another salon as well. That is like on my to-do list for probably like next year. And yeah, I just want to keep evolving. Like, obviously I'm grateful for where I am now, and I think it's brilliant, but I have a lot of ambition, and I feel like once I hit a goalpost, I'm like, that's amazing, what can I do next?
So you've gone down the employment route and not the self-employment route, right?
Yeah, employed.
What was your reason for doing that?
So a few reasons. Initially, when we first ever started, I already knew I kind of needed staff, because I couldn't actually manage all the appointments from my house, let alone from when we got to the salon. Mm-hmm. So I did have somebody working for me, self-employed initially, and we had like a sit down, and we both agreed that we would start off as self-employed, just because I was still finding my feet with the whole employment situation. And was trying to renovate the salon and just do multiple things. And I just felt like I didn't have the energy or the responsibility to just sort all of that out. So I was like, it's better that I could just do self-employed, blah, blah, blah. And she kind of wanted to do a self-employed and start out that way. But I did say to her, we'll do this for a few months, but then I will want to transition you over to employment. And she initially agreed and said that was fine. When it got to that stage, then she changed her mind and didn't want to be employed. So then we was looking at like rental like prices, but then she didn't want to pay the rental prices because she was basically saying she didn't know she can guarantee she can pay that. Mm-hmm. Which I felt like that is kind of a clear example of understanding that if you don't think you can pay the rental prices, then obviously you've got to understand as someone who's paying you when you're employed, we don't know if you're going to get bookings or not. So, you know, but yeah, so I feel like I kind of had a taste of self-employment, understood that for me, it didn't necessarily work in the salon. Also because when I worked at Dion's salon initially, I was self-employed. I think I was one of her like first staff members. So it was very new to her to have staff. Very new to me to be in like self-employed, but within a salon space. And I just felt like when I was in that situation, it didn't necessarily work for me. So moving forward with the business, I felt like I've experienced it personally, and I've also kind of had a taster. And I think the best route is employed staff. There's no blurred lines. There's no, I just think self-employment can be quite messy. And I guess it can work in certain situations, but I feel like you've got to have a really understanding staff. And I just don't always think that people see all the back end that you do. So, yeah.
Definitely. What about you, Rachel? Have you got staff? Do you want staff?
I definitely want staff. I don't have anyone at the moment. It's just me. I obviously, it has been nearly 2 years now, but when we, as I said, initially opened the salon, that first day that we opened the doors, that was my first day being full-time self-employed brow technician. I was absolutely petrified. And I still feel like I'm not quite there yet. I hope I will be soon, because I definitely want to have, we'll begin with someone else and then hopefully have maybe more. But not quite yet, but hopefully in the near future, maybe by the end of the year, I'd love to have another brow person in on the days that I'm not in the salon, maybe to just offer a bit more availability. But yeah, not at the moment.
It's definitely something that you need to make sure you feel ready for, isn't it? And 100%. If you don't feel the pressure anywhere else. Just carry on as you are until you get to that point where you are feeling ready. Because you don't want no stress. Like, what's the point of having the stress in life when you're quite happy doing what you're doing right now? And then just take them on as and when you want to.
Yeah, I'm sort of as well in a place. So I qualified in microblading in November, and I'm still trying to become an absolute master at that. So that's sort of like my focus at the moment. I then want to do other semi-permanent makeup training as well off the back of that. Obviously, you can have a staff member in that mix. It doesn't have to wait until the end, but I feel like I'm sort of head down with that at the moment. And then...
Yeah, that's your focus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So what tips have you guys got for people growing a salon? Because obviously you've only been open a couple of years, but looking at your Insta, like, business seems to be booming all the time. So what are the tips?
What are the tips? I feel like one of my main things is the customer service. I think that is one of the main things with growing a salon and business. Sorry, is that the question you was asking? Like, how to keep the salon going, right?
I mean, you can answer how to keep the salon going or how.
How to begin. For me, I feel like our situations, I guess, are quite different. But for me, it was, I don't think you necessarily, especially if you're going to do it on your own, should go into a salon until you know you can make the money yourself from your client base. So when I was working from home, it got to the point where I was working 6 days a week. Obviously, it's not ideal, but I was fully booked, and I felt like I'd got to the point where I've got high demand, I've got people booking 3 weeks in advance, like even more. I'm having to turn loads of people down. Now I think I'm ready to have a salon. So I do feel like to get a salon and get to that point, I do think you need to make sure that you have the money from your clients to be able to kind of cover all your bills. And I think it's okay for that to be a stage. I think, unfortunately, sometimes people want to kind of jump to that too soon, which obviously is good to be ambitious, but I feel like you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you now haven't got the clients and you can't pay the rent, particularly during the like low season, because it's one thing being busy in summer, you know, that summertime is kind of forgiven, but you know, your Januarys, your Februarys, your November, December, like not December, sorry, your, you know, October, November can be a bit sticky. Love that for you.
A spoolie attached to my jumper.
Of course you do.
I think you've got to be mindful of the low seasons. And then also the overheads of a salon are dramatically different. So yeah, for me, I think you have to be mindful of your finances. I think is like probably my top tip. And I don't know, if like believing in yourself, I think believing that you can get to where you want to be is probably one of the biggest things that's actually going to get you to where you want to be. Like for me, I definitely dream big. I wouldn't say I'm a dreamer, but I think now that I know I've achieved this, and I thought before, like years ago, it was so far off my radar, and actually I've only been qualified 5 years in February and I've already doing everything I'm doing. So for me now, like my goals, I just put them higher and higher. So I think you do have to believe in yourself and kind of make unrealistic goals and realistic goals so that you can keep elevating and growing.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And you were the smart one that started with the clientele at home. I was the dumb one that literally opened the doors with not one client. Honestly, I opened my salon with not one client and no one knew who I was. Who does that? I don't advise anyone to do that whatsoever that's listening. Like, don't do that. I always now say, obviously gone through that, set up at home or do a space or mobile, whatever that is, build first and then go and open your salon. Because it's hard building that clientele to begin with.
Yeah. Also, I feel like salon outgoings are just dramatically more and a bit crazy. I think people don't really understand sometimes how much it actually costs to run a salon.
This is also what I try and get people to realise, especially when I'm mentoring people. If there's, say, for example, you're at home and you guys will understand this. If you're at home and you're taking, let's just say, £2,000 a month with all the treatments that you do, and you think, okay, this is great. I've got all these clients. I'm taking £2,000 a month. I now want a salon. But then what you've got to realise is that salon's supposed to cost you £1,000 a month, for example. So then you only have £1,000 a month left, whereas you're normally used to £2,000 a month.
Yeah.
And people don't realise that until then they go into it. So it's, you really have to make sure you've got the clients plus more that you're turning away to then be able to counteract. And people do this with their second salon as well. And it's always the hardest starting your second salon, because your first salon will always be that one that protects that second one or lifts that second one up financially.
Yeah.
And they don't realize then you've got double the cost then of a second salon. So you always need to make sure them clients are constantly coming in and you're constantly turning business away before you then go on to the next step.
Yeah.
This is definitely the hardest bit.
Yeah. I think like as well, people, Demi and I were talking about this yesterday, like that you might tell someone how much you've earned 1 month and they'll be like, oh my god, like where is this, like, what, you know? And you're like, yeah, no, but actually 80% of that is outgoings. Like, that's not profit. I'm not living this lavish life behind the scenes.
Yes.
That no one can see. And I, you know, when I started renting that room in that yoga studio, I was scared. I mean, it was like, I think it was 65 quid a day or something. And I wasn't even sure at that point that I could even make that to pay it. Obviously, I had a full-time job, so I had a bit of security.
Mm.
But that I wanted to make money from clients. And I just had to think, you know, it's a good position. No one else is doing brows. Hopefully, I can take some of the yoga clients. And obviously, it all worked out. But I was terrified. And that was only 60 quid a day. Mm. And now we've got these horrendous outgoings, and thankfully blessed to be able to pay them and have some left over each month, you know. But it's a ridiculous amount of money to spend. It's
because it's something like, I think the stats are something like 5% on average, 5% profit for the year that a salon makes, and that's profit. That's what's left after everything. You think that's not a lot, 5%. When I'm teaching, I try and get all of my salons and therapists at least 20% for the year to then obviously make it worthwhile. But the industry standard's really low, and I think that's just because the overheads are so much. But then actually, people don't charge correctly either.
Yeah, I know. Demi's always on at me about a price increase. I did my first price increase last year, and it was literally like £2 a service or something, which makes a hell of a difference.
It really does.
I was terrified. I was like, no one's going to come. We're going to lose all our business. This is a terrible idea. Thank you, Omar. But obviously, it all works out.
Many people are scared of price increases. It's like the most terrifying thing to do. But I do find if you do it regular, a pound, no one notices. Whereas if you don't do it for like 2 years, 3 years. You have to do such a massive jump.
Yeah.
That then clients are like, what? You're putting it up by £10. Like,
yeah.
You have to do it really regularly.
Yeah. I probably put my prices up
every week.
I put them up once a year.
Well, that's not bad. That's good.
I think when the year we first started, I might put them up twice. But yeah, at least once a year minimum. Sometimes I've done twice, just because I feel like the things go up, things keep going up, and you can't, as a business, cover that. Also, I feel like service in, like, is that gets better. I've done a lot of courses in between that time. I've trained my staff, so we need to be able to cover for that. So I did recently put my prices up, and I did try to encourage Rachel to put hers up.
I will. I am going to. Yeah. When did I do it? It's probably, I can't even remember. I just need to.
I bet there's so many people though that are listening thinking, I haven't done a price increase since COVID, because lots of people don't. That was their great excuse. Let's put our prices up because everyone's coming back over COVID and we have to, covering PPE, etc. But now there's cost of living, so people have that another excuse to pull it up. But if you, even if there wasn't COVID or there wasn't the cost of living going up, everything naturally inflates every single year. So if you don't, you're automatically every single year taking less money, which
exactly.
I just
I agree, and I think to some people, regardless, I feel like you need to put your prices up because, you know, you've done extra training, you've had to, you know, like, you've got better, the service got better, everything goes up. So why in the beauty industry do we not? And I don't know, it really bothers me as well, because I feel like sometimes, generally, our clients actually are not really fazed by price increase. I put them up recently and I was back and forth with myself about it, because usually I'll put a price increase and I don't really overthink it. Like, I used to when I worked from home, and now I'm like, no, my service is good, our staff was good, like, everything's great, so I'm going to put the prices up. But I was back and forth because I'm like, oh, everyone's saying about cost of living, da da da. And then we got our heating bill come through, which was £500. And I thought,
always fun.
Went up from £50 to £500. We were paying £50 a month, and now it's £500.
And I thought to myself, I need to put the prices up. And I did, it was nothing dramatic. Like, I think £5 for new sets, £3 for infills. And has anybody bat an eyelid? If anything, I think I've actually got more new clients booked recently, haven't I? More new clients have booked recently with the new increased price. So I just feel like people understand and get it. But yeah, I feel like you do have a few people that won't love a price increase, and that's absolutely fine. You know, we understand that it's, you know, it might be out of your price bracket now, but we have to be able to cover ourselves, especially as a salon, all the outgoings. And also, I just feel like, you know, I've got to put respect on my work. Like, I'm bending my back for how many hours, you know, we go above and beyond for clients, you get wrist pain, you get this, you get that. Also, my staff, I've got to put their wages up because I want to show them that I appreciate them and they're doing a good job. So then I need to cover all these costs.
I actually think not a lot of clients, I know there will be some that do, but I think lots of clients, and even new ones that you get through the door, don't necessarily look too much into the price. I think it's about where they want to go, what salon like takes their fancy, the person's work. I don't think it necessarily comes down to price. And obviously, I've been in this industry for a very long time, like 14 years now. And we used to make it such a big deal every year when we'd done a price increase. We used to put signs out, send an email, like give people a month's notice. Now there's such things as online booking systems. I literally sometimes sit there in bed and think, nah, I'm going to put some money back on that. And like, raise my prices in the middle of the night.
I did my price increase, finally did the other day at 2 a.m. I thought, nah, changing it. And I literally changed all the prices.
Yeah, I do the same. And everyone's like, oh, is the prices gone up? As in my staff. And I'm like, yeah, they need to go up a bit. So like, okay. Yeah. And because people book online, they see it anyway. So it takes that awkward situation that we used to have years ago before booking systems of, oh, I didn't pay that last time. But because they've pre-booked it online, the transparency is already there. So it saves them awkward conversations when they come into salon. So it really isn't scary anymore. Just shove them up.
Yes, no, I agree. I absolutely agree. I do exactly the same. And then I come in, I'm like, we need to change the price list. Because I've put the price up again. And Rachel just like, all right.
Big mine, I'm still the same.
No, it's even priceless. Like, obviously, we all have priceless, but part of me now, as we're going more into a techno area, do we even need prices? Because everyone just looks online. Wow. Like a price, so we're constantly printing priceless. I mean, obviously, we still do. Well, now I'll only print about 100 at a time because it'll only be a few weeks. So I'll be changing.
Can I just get 50 of those?
Yeah. Don't do the 500 anymore.
No, we definitely get people coming, oh, have you got a priceless?
Yeah, we get,
have you got a priceless?
Oh, we're on like a high road and...
Yeah, that's so different then, isn't it?
Definitely, it's actually very busy as well. Not like too busy, like a nice thank busy, God, like we've got a good footfall. But we get a lot of clients like come in and they're like, you've got a priceless. And I always think to myself, I feel like they're people over them, and then every day they remind me that we need them there. We have them like right by the front desk, and they pick them up and they stare at it, and then they ask. Sometimes ask questions, and then or they'll leave with it, and they'll be like looking at it. So we do get quite a lot of like older clients as well, mature clients, and we feel like we do definitely get a lot of clients that don't really like the booking system. Actually, not a big fan of it sometimes.
So. We'll get feedback sometimes, won't we? Oh, your booking system is very difficult to use.
Yeah.
Like, well, 98% of our clients would disagree. Yeah, you
have to cater for everyone, don't you? Yeah. I mean, it's like when you're in a restaurant and you have to scan everything through a QR code and now pay the bill through a QR code. I'm like, mate, I just want to talk to someone.
Yeah, no, 100%. We can all relate. some avenue, yeah. Can't we?
And then we get some people that your booking system's not working, it's showing no appointments. And I'm like, what day are you looking for? And I'm like, yeah, no, it's nothing wrong with the booking system. There's nothing wrong with the booking system. It works perfectly.
That's hilarious. What tips would you give to those listening to get new clients? Because I think this is a question, as a mentor, I get asked all the time, how do I get new clients? What new clients through the door? What are your tips to get new clients?
Yeah, you can start.
My tips to getting new clients would probably be, first of all, actually, your focus should be on your current clients, because I feel like they're, one, always going to return. Two, if you can make sure you're always providing amazing service for your current clients, say, for example, lashes, then they're more likely to then be interested in getting your new treatment, like your brows or your Botox or your lip filler, because they trust you and everything else has been perfect. So if now they want another service, I think they're more likely to go to you. I think also with your old clients or your current clients, if you make their service constantly amazing, I think they're more likely to actually just spread awareness about your business. So recommend it to friends and family, or people they know, work colleagues, staff, even if they're out and about, you know, someone says, oh, what have your lashes? Oh my God, thank you. Do you know what? I go to blah, blah, blah. Mm. So I think actually they can be really powerful, making sure that they're always like satisfied and happy, making them feel special. I think actually they word of mouth travels with them. So definitely like that is a thing. I think obviously being active on your social media is very important. So we try post like daily. We've actually got a little schedule that we do now. So I think posting on your social media daily, definitely posting your availability as well daily. Sometimes we're not as good as doing it every day, but we try. Mm-hmm. I think that I used to get a lot of feedback when I worked from home that people said they used to like seeing the availability.
Yeah, and some people, feedback now.
Yeah, and they used to say that it made them panic because they're like, oh my God, there's space to go in, so they're more likely to book. That's a thing. I think also getting to the point that when you're fully booked and you're kind of posting like limited availability and stuff like that, I think that pushes new clients to be like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
We need to get in here because they're fully booked. Google reviews, like trying to get your Google reviews up. At the moment, we have 5 stars on our Google review, which I'm so happy about. So I think pushing them is good because we still get a lot of people that say they found us on Google and they were looking through the reviews, and the reason why they chose us is because the other place looked nice, but our Google reviews, they just said it was so great that they're like, oh, we better go with you. So I think pushing your Google reviews, and on our booking system, we have our, they like take obviously their contact details. So we do send like broadcast emails.
Yeah.
So some people, they've not been a client with us yet, but they're on our booking system, and we will tend to like send, sometimes we do personalized emails, sometimes we do like a broadcast, but it goes out to them. It might be like an offer. It might just be like, oh, have you, you know, looked at our services? So I think keeping that communication with your kind of email list also is a good way to pull in new clients.
Definitely.
Yeah. I would, yeah, to add to that, as like as Jamie said, like posting daily. I think before we were trying to post daily, it wasn't really working. I feel like it felt a bit stressful and pressure, and there was a lot going on. I feel like now it's a lot easier. We definitely benefit from posting more often. Our followers have increased massively. Mm-hmm. Not that it's about followers, but obviously engagement and people seeing the page and things, but also what you're posting. So I think obviously essentially the main thing is posting your work and posting images and reels that show that you're good at what you do and you know what you're doing. We've actually, kudos to Demi because these were her ideas, I've been posting reels that are a bit more informative and like answering questions that people might have, and those views have like been really high. Like I was actually surprised, like I didn't know that people wanted to know so much. And yeah, just making people feel at ease, I think, and secure in that they're going somewhere that they're in completely safe hands and they're not going to have a bad experience or something go wrong. You know, we often get people come in and they'll say, oh, you know, oh my God, I haven't had my brows done in like a year because this happened to me and I've been too scared to go anywhere else. And that, I think, is so flattering to have someone who's had a bad experience somewhere else and you be the first person that they choose to entrust again. And I think that just speaks like volumes for the work that they've seen. Or, you know, I was looking through your Instagram, we get people come, they're like, oh my God, I've followed you for ages, but I haven't been able to get an appointment, but I keep seeing your work. Or recently we've had a couple of messages and people have said, oh, I saw those reels and they've swayed me to give it a go. Or, you know,
It definitely is about consistency, isn't it?
Yeah.
Consistency. And like I said, I think what the main point there was there's so many people now that are doing beauty, which isn't a problem because there's enough clients for everyone, but there's a lot of people doing beauty that are doing rubbish courses, or they're not investing, and they maybe just are doing it for the cash and the client and not the client. So then there's a lot of clients that are fearful of going elsewhere, like you've said. So if you are showing the pros and cons to your salon and your work, and showing the before and afters, and like I said, getting the knowledge out there, because clients do actually want to know all of that stuff, it just builds that trust before they've even got to you. And it was like 7 to 14 times people need to see you before they trust to buy into you, but it's actually gone up now to something like 27 times. It's ridiculous. And it just proved you, because when people say to you guys, and I hear it all the time, I've been watching you for ages now, and it's like, how many times have you actually seen me before you've decided to come on a mentoring course with me or decided to book into my salon? Like, it's actually amazing how many times you've got to post for people to see you, and that's why you can't give up on posting as well.
One thing actually that we have been doing recently that I think has also helped with new clients is we have been recording, getting a few of our clients to do, so obviously we have reviews on Google, but we've actually been doing video reviews, and then we've been posting them as reels. We also want to get them on Google Ads. We just haven't got around to processing that yet, back on sponsored stuff. But I feel like that has also helped when people see a person, like a physical person, and they're doing a review, especially usually they've had their eyebrows or lashes or brows and lashes, and they're talking about them, so they can physically see them like on a full person. Because I think sometimes, you know, when you're taking pictures and videos, when they're quite close up, they're lovely. But when you see it on a full face and like someone just stands in and talking, especially with like lashes, for example, I think it can show that they can be quite natural. Sometimes people think they can be really intense. And in the review, the person might be like, oh, I have hybrid lashes and blah, 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 and I get HD brow. And they can actually see, oh, this person doesn't look completely made up. Do you know what I mean? But I really like that. So I think they've really helped with like getting new clients for us as well. They're like, oh, I've seen that video review.
Yeah, 100%.
So Oh, that's loads of tips for all of our listeners. So thank you very much. Everyone's had a bit of a coaching session. No, that's great. Thank you. Well, I appreciate you guys so much. Where can people head over to you? I know you've been sponsors for the podcast for the last few months, and all your show notes, links and stuff have been in there. But where can people head over to send you a DM or reach out to you?
The salon Instagram is Lash and Brow Lab Clapham. Our website is lashbrowlab.co.uk, and our email address is lashbrowlabclapham@gmail.com. The easiest way to get hold of us is to DM or email us, because then we can type back rather than trying to have a conversation on the phone while we're with clients. But yeah, people want to book, the booking system is available and working on our website.
And your brow page?
My brow page is Brows by RSC on Instagram.
And then my lash page is DW Lashed on Instagram.
Perfect. We will add all the links to the show notes so people can check them out really easily. If you love this episode as much as us, then please can we get everyone to share this episode and tag us so we can reach as many beauty professionals as possible. We'd be all very grateful. And guys, just thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules to talk to me today.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been great.
Are you a trainer with a salon or an academy and would love to grow with government funding, but just need some help and support? Or maybe you're somebody that would like to start your own academy or even just train. Get in touch today with TMB to help you on this journey. See our link in the show notes.